A gunman shows up in your office. What do you do? Run and hide and barricade and duck and cover? Or do you try to take him down? There's a change underway in active shooter situational training. On this episode of Scott Ott Podcast, we take a look at what that is, and it's good news. Sometimes the news is just bad, 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 and you really don't get a lot of hope in the news. I think, and you may find this odd, but I think that this is one of the more hopeful things that I have seen. And it comes in the midst of terrible tragedy. There have been very prominent shootings lately in Colorado, in California, in Paris, and elsewhere. And there are others that happen, you know, throughout the year that are not as high profile, lower body counts and things like that. We have training programs. Corporations hire trainers to come in and teach the employees how to deal with active shooter situations in the workplace. And this is very common. I think the military does the same thing, but they bring in people, and the typical strategy has essentially been what they used to teach about a nuclear attack. Duck and cover. Hide. That, you know, if you can escape, the basic training was, if you can escape the building, get out. If you can't, shelter in place, hide, get under something, jam, barricade the doorway, do what you can to cower and hope that he shoots you last. I mean, that's not how they say it, but that is essentially what you're saying when you're telling people to hide. You're saying, you know, you've got a couple of options. You can run, you can hide, or you can fight. What we want you to do is run and hide. And they had not been training people to fight. But that's changing. The whole approach is changing because what they're seeing is high body counts in places where people follow the directives. Where people were trained to shelter in place, they're finding people slaughtered in place. Dead bodies under tables. People did what they were told and died. And so now, some of these training companies, which, and frankly, they're getting so much business that they don't have time to do all the training sessions they're being asked to do, are giving new options. They're saying, look, if you can get out, that's good, but if you're in a position to take the gunman down, then that's what you do. And so the objective essentially is escape first. You know, that's your first option. Get out of the building if you can. Great. But if you can't, distract, confuse, and take down the shooter. And that's what they're teaching now. They're teaching ways that you can throw things, you know, get everybody to throw whatever they have in their hands, shoes, staplers, whatever it is, get people to introduce as much chaos into the situation so that the shooter is no longer in control. When he's got that weapon and he's the only one who has a weapon and he's walking around there just sweeping the room and picking people off and reloading, as so many of these shooters have done, just constantly slapping a new magazine in there, he's in charge. But if you get him distracted, if you get him confused, if you throw things at him, if you make him have to react to what you're doing, then you have an opportunity to take him down, and you take advantage of the superior numbers of the erstwhile victims, and you take him down. That is so exciting to me. Now, you can't, you know, if you don't have a gun, you know, this is something that they're not really training in office situations because they still don't want you to bring a gun to work most places. If you don't have a gun, you've got to do what you can. So you're not without options. You know, it's not ideal for you to bring, you know, a stapler to a gunfight. But if the guy has to duck your stapler for a second, then maybe somebody else has a shot at him. If the guy has to react because you threw a pitcher of coffee at him, then the guy has to react. If he gets rushed from all sides by multiple people, then he has to react. And it gets very difficult for a shooter to deal with that kind of chaos. You can't just hide because then he's in control of everything. And so fortunately now, even the government is hiring some of these firms to come in and treat active shooter situation responses that involve distracting, confusing, and taking down the shooter. I think this is one of the most positive things I've heard lately. And frankly, it's an American thing to do. I'm not saying it's only American, but I'm saying it is inherently an American thing to do. We are not the kind of people who cower for our final minutes under a table. We are the kind of people who take action. We do what we can when we realize that there are no good options and we're probably going to get shot. I want to be shot running at the shooter rather than cowering under the table. If it's going to happen one way or the other, I don't want to deceive myself. And I think we've deceived a lot of people by saying, hey, your best bet is to play dead or to hide under a table or whatever, stuff like that. And there may be circumstances where that's all you have left to you. But in reality, in most situations, especially when you have superior numbers on the part of the people who are in the office, you can do a lot for one or two shooters that will introduce chaos into the situation, make him reactive instead of proactive, and then you become the proactive ones. You do what needs to be done to take that shooter down. And it's happening in training sessions, and people are doing that. And more you're reading articles where people have taken their fate into their own hands, and they've realized, you know, I know if I lay still, I know that the only likely outcome here is that I'm a sitting duck. I'm an inert, non-moving target. I'm an easy shot. You know, if you want to avoid somebody who's shooting, make it difficult for him to hit you. Even, you know, deer seem to understand that. It seems like when I went deer hunting, they'd never come out from behind the trees. I think they always understood they needed to keep something between me and them. They're not sure what's going on over there. I don't know what that guy's doing sitting behind that rock, but I think I'm going to keep this tree between me and him just to make sure. Well, if your life is threatened, it's better to train somebody to take bold action, to not give in, never give in to the terrorists, never play their game. Change the rules of their game. Their rules say, I walk in, fish in the barrel, totally defenseless, unarmed people, and shoot them down. That's the way the terrorist is thinking. That's the way the shooter is thinking. And that's why they always go to places where they know there aren't going to be guns. You know, you don't see them showing up at NRA conventions in general. They go to places where they know people can't be armed. Even in that Draw Muhammad cartoon contest that they had in Garland, Texas a while back, where those two shooters showed up. I thought about going to that event, and they said that the event was going to be in a facility where you're not allowed to carry. And I thought, you know what? That's not smart. That is not smart. You're preventing people from being able to protect themselves, especially in a situation where it's clear that there may be a threat. Now, as it turns out, some alert people with guns managed to take down the shooters. But this is refreshing news. And maybe there's a resurgence and an understanding, especially after Paris. The moment the lights came on for me was at Virginia Tech years ago now. It was Virginia Tech, and I just thought, you know, those people were helpless. I never want to be in that situation. I never want to be the guy who's saying, hey, quick, hide under the, you know, plastic table. That's not how you want to spend your final moments. If you got to spend your final moments with gunfire around your ears, it might as well be in doing something to try to bring justice to that situation, to bring safety, at least for others, and maybe for yourself. Now, ideally, employers would begin to understand that people who are licensed to carry a concealed weapon are not a threat. They're a benefit to their organization, and that they would be proactive in welcoming those kinds of people. But you can't hide them. You just can't hide from a guy who's got, you know, a .223 caliber semi-automatic rifle. You can't say that your strategy is, I'm going to lay on the floor and hope he doesn't shoot me, you know, hope he runs out of ammo before he gets to me. So anyway, that's awesome. Training is now happening where people are being told to disrupt and confuse and take down the shooter. You know, you've got to get him to move from offense to defense, according to one of these former SWAT officers who works for a training company. And these people are busier than they know what to do with. They are all over the place trying to train people. And there have been more requests for this kind of training than they've been able to fulfill. You don't want to be passive in the face of extreme violence, they say. You want to be active. You are most likely to be a victim if you're passive. And I think that carries over, as we've often heard, to how you deal with a threat like the Islamic State. You can't be passive in the face of extreme violence. You need to change from defense to offense. You need to let the shooter know that he's in jeopardy, that he's at risk, and you need to change the game so that he doesn't know how to act. I'm hoping every state will adopt this. Every company will adopt this. As someone in the chat rooms just pointed out, the governor of Virginia is indeed a doofus who has just decided that all the reciprocity agreements that they had with other states regarding concealed carry, he will no longer honor those agreements. I haven't read the article about it. Dana Lash posted about it on Facebook, and Dana is solid when it comes to Second Amendment rights and just a wise person. And so I recommend that you go to Dana and find out more about how that happens. Dana Lash has a show on the Blaze TV, and just Google Dana Lash and find her on Twitter and Facebook. Scott Ott Podcast, Episode 15, contains audio excerpts of Scott Ott Show, originally streamed live on YouTube December 22nd, 2015. For more information, scottottshow.com. Thanks for listening.